This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It started with Collins and the Elmira facilities, where there's these strikes of corrections officers who are saying enough is enough with what's going on in these prisons. We don't feel safe. And it has grown and is now even adding more facilities as of today. What can you tell me about that?
So I visited Attica this morning or this afternoon. I brought some pizza to the folks who were out there, so they had something warm to eat. It was a number of individuals that were out there, again, in pretty cold temperatures, as it was yesterday, and yet they're out there. I think it's important to note this is not, you know, sort of a sanctioned strike by the Corrections Officers Union. These are just individual corrections officers who have sort of taken this upon themselves because the situation in our prisons across the state are so bad. And I think that's very telling, that this is very organic in that regard. And there certainly is some risk for the officers. And yet they're doing it anyways, and they're doing it for themselves, they're doing it for their families, and they're doing it for their other officers. But the situation inside our prisons has been deteriorating and becoming more dangerous for a number of years. And when I say more dangerous, Zach, not just for corrections officers, it's more dangerous for the inmates, it's more dangerous for anybody inside these prisons. And I'm talking about years of chronic understaffing. And not even cutting positions, but not filling budgeted positions in our prisons. And that goes back to Governor Cuomo. Double bunking, closing prisons, moving more inmates into existing prisons. So now you have more inmates, you have less staff. Then you have a situation like HALT, the HALT Act, which went into effect in 2022, which removed a legally used resource really for our corrections officers, and that was solitary confinement for habitually violent inmates, for troublesome inmates, to remove them from general population, to try to de-escalate certain situations and again make it safer for everyone inside. That has been removed since 2022, part of the prison reform that Governor Hochul and Senate Democrats and Assembly Democrats have pushed. And this is where we're at now. We're at a situation where the other day, inmates at Collins Correctional, launched some kind of a revolt and tried to take over parts of the prison. And the corrections officers are simply saying, that's enough. The situation is untenable for these folks. They don't feel safe. They don't feel that the state has their back. They have no confidence in the commissioner of corrections and the leadership of the Department of Corrections. They have no faith that the governor has their back. And I have to say, I think they're right. They don't have their back. The governor and Senate Democrats and Assembly Democrats do not have their back. They would much rather stand with inmates, people who've been convicted of robbery, of rape, of murder, of assault, gang members. They would much rather, and they have shown this, stand with those individuals than the people we ask to, police the prisons and keep, keep everybody in there safe and all of that, our corrections officers. And so they've had enough. That's why they're out there in sub-zero temperatures doing what they're doing all across the state. It's not a Western New York only thing. It's all across New York. And I was out there today just to let them know that there are elected officials in Albany who have consistently stood with them and advocated for changes and imposed some of these policies. And certainly our Republican conference, Senator Gallivan, Senator Borrello, Assemblyman Dave DiPietro, and myself have all stood up for our corrections officers before this, and we will continue to stand up with them and for them during these next, trying days.
Now, I was talking to a couple of the COs earlier today, and they were saying as of yesterday, local union reps resigned from their position. Have you heard about this? And if so, to what extent? And how does New York Taylor law play into this?
So I'm going to I'm not an attorney. I have attorneys on staff that advise our conference, and I'll have to leave it to folks like that much smarter than me to be able to talk about how the Taylor law comes into play here. Again, my knowledge of this is that this is not a sort of a sanctioned strike by the corrections officers bargaining unit. This is the result of a very organic, and it's a segment of the corrections officers, as far as I know, that have chosen to walk out and to strike. And again, it's a result of the failed leadership of the governor. It's a result of the failed leadership of the Department of Corrections, who obviously works for the governor. And it's a result of the almost antagonism that the Senate Democrats and Assembly Democrats, people like Senator Julia Salazar from New York City, who have made it their mission to close prisons, to go after corrections officers, to go after their profession, to make them out to be the bad guys, when in fact they are in a facility surrounded by bad people. And so, as far as the legal ramifications of some of this, I just don't know enough, Zach. And so I don't want to give you conjecture or give you an opinion or a thought that may turn out not to be completely accurate. So I'll leave that to maybe labor attorneys or lawyers who are far more versed in that than I am.
So as of recently, Hochul has announced that she is working on a plan to bring in National Guard to help in a lot of these facilities that are experiencing these strikes. There doesn't really seem to be a whole lot as to how this would play out. Are they just going to be essentially scabs for the COs who are on strike right now, or are they going to try to disperse some of these strikes?
It's a great question. To your last part, so we placed a call to docs to try and get some clarification. I am not of the mindset that they are going to be dispersing the strikes. My information is that they are going to be supplementing the officers who are not showing up to work. It's greatly concerning to me as a former member, a proud member and a veteran of the New York Army National Guard. I was proud to serve overseas in Afghanistan with my guard unit. These are soldiers. Obviously they respond to, disasters, and they respond to a lot of, domestic related situations, whether, at the call of the governor, at the behest of the governor. But I will tell you that placing them inside prisons. Now, don't forget, weapons are not allowed inside prisons. Unless you're in a guard tower, there are no weapons, including for our COs, inside prisons. To place National Guard soldiers, most of whom I have to assume have never received any kind of training to be in a civilian prison environment, to put them inside these prisons to do a job which they are ill-trained or not trained to do is setting them up for failure, and it's making a bad situation worse. It is making a dangerous situation worse. The military, say what you want about the Army National Guard, whether you want to look at it as more of a domestic force, or I served it overseas, I served it on the border, and I served with it locally here. It is a military force. It is these are soldiers who are trained in very specific skill sets and missions, and guarding a civilian prison is not one of them. Keep in mind, under Governor Hochul, we have Army National Guard soldiers in the New York City subways doing the job that the NYPD is supposed to do, and now she's going to put them into prisons to do the job that our corrections officers can do. I am sure the Adjutant General, he's a soldier. If the governor orders him to mobilize troops and put them in prisons, he's going to do that because that's what soldiers do. But that is absolutely not the role, not the best use of the asset that is the New York Army National Guard to put them in prisons. I am very concerned about this. I don't mean that to be hyperbolic. I am very concerned. It frustrates me as a former National Guard member, but as an elected official, I do not think that this is a good or wise decision by the governor. It's escalating a tense situation, and it's putting soldiers, brave New Yorkers who volunteered to serve their country and their state, into a situation that they are ill-equipped to be able to handle. And that's no knock, again, against the Army National Guard. It's just not, to me, that is not the situation. What the governor should be doing is sitting down with the corrections officers and doing what she can to get them back into these prisons, to improve their working conditions. If she needs to, she's very focused on removing the mayor of New York, it would seem at this time. Maybe she should be more focused on removing the head of the Department of Corrections and getting these officers back to work. I promise you, they'd much rather be working than standing out in sub-zero temperatures. But they want to go back to a situation that is safer for them, that is safer for their colleagues, and where they feel like their job, they are given the tools to do the job we're asking them to do. That's all they're asking for. They're not out doing this strike looking for money or for benefits. That's not what this is about. This is about working conditions. This is about safe working conditions. And this is about the state of New York and the leadership having the back of the men and women in the corrections officers and who have that job title, and instead of having the back of the people that are in prison, that have been convicted of crimes and are serving sentences. So that's what this boils down to. But again, using the National Guard in this situation, I think, is yet another example of poor leadership and a poor decision by the governor.
Now, in my eyes, this seems like escalatory behavior, right? I mean, you even said it yourself. She's already using the National Guard in the subways in New York City. Surely there's a point where she's already stretching resources that are way too thin to begin with. So let's say these strikes continue to happen and these National Guardsmen and women still stay in these prisons. What happens next?
It's a great question. I don't know off the top of my head. I don't know as I talk to you what the strength or how many guard members we're actually talking about, right? As far as and keep in mind a real irony that I know from my time in the guard, a lot of my fellow soldiers, maybe a lot is not fair, but several of my fellow soldiers, guess what their civilian profession was? Corrections officer. So you could literally have a corrections officer, maybe one who's showing up to work, for all we know, and all of a sudden he's going to get mobilized as a member of the Guard, and he will have to show up under military orders to a prison where he will do the same job, I guess, he does now, only he will get paid less, no doubt, to do the same job, because I have no doubt the hourly pay for an E5 or an E6 is probably drastically different than it is for a member of the corrections officers union, depending on where he works. So this is rife with all kinds of problems, depending on how long this goes. There's no question the governor's escalating this, but she's in her attempt to maybe escalate or drive a hard bargain. It's ironic in several fronts. One, that many on the left, including the governor, have been real strong advocates for prison reform, for public safety reform, criminal justice reform, always sort of on the side of criminals or inmates, you know, people that have broken the law or transgressed the law. That always seems to be sort of their main focus. And corrections officers, you know, we want to make our prisons, I guess, gentler and nicer and all of that. Ironically, now we're bringing in the military into our prisons. So you're actually, it's sort of ironic, you're almost militarizing our prisons instead of what they are purporting to do. And that always, a lot of times, seems to be what happens with far left and progressive policies, is you sort of get the opposite of what you say you're trying to do. So for those who are, you know, proponents of prison reform, I don't think bringing the military in would accomplish your goal. Just like I don't think the military being in the subways of New York is what we want. I mean, that's not, when you think of New York, we got Army soldiers in our prisons, we got Army soldiers in our subways. Nothing says a failure of leadership like that. I mean, if you're the governor, there's a point where you have to look in the mirror and say, how are we getting here? What am I doing wrong that is leading us into the point where I have to keep deploying the Army National Guard to restore order? That should not happen frequently in a gubernatorial administration. It's already happened too frequently, twice now, under Governor Hochul's basically, you know, one term that she's been in office. So I don't, you know, obviously the longer this goes on, the worse it is. I think bringing the military in, the National Guard, I think it certainly exacerbates a situation where you have corrections officers who I'm sure are not going to be thrilled about, you know, soldiers doing their work in the prison. So you're putting two groups of people cut from the same cloth, people who want to serve, people who are serving, and you're pitting them against each other, which is not great. And again, I think more to the point, you're really making our prisons potentially even more dangerous by inserting folks who are no doubt trained, but they're trained in skill sets that may not gel with the situation you're putting them into in prisons. They are not corrections officers. They are not, many of them will not be trained in that role. And to ask them to do that job, I think, is putting them at a heightened risk and potentially certainly even putting inmates at a heightened risk. So for those out there who are concerned about inmates, I don't think this is great for them either. So this is a situation that has the real potential to get infinitely worse before it gets better. And that's where you need leadership. That's where the governor needs to just recognize that these are desperate people, meaning that our corrections officers, they're desperate, Zach. They're desperate. They are fearful in a lot of ways to go to work. They do not feel like anyone has their back, or at least not enough people have their back. And they're trying to get the attention of people at the top to make changes to make our prisons safer for everyone, including obviously themselves. And that's what the governor needs. That's the message she needs to take out of this, not send in the National Guard. That is, again, that's going to make the situation more dangerous, worse. And as a former member of the Guard, and as someone who supports our corrections officers, it is very upsetting to me. And I'm going to continue to speak out against it. And, you know, should I talk to the governor here in the next little bit, I'm going to let her know exactly how I feel about this.
You know, you brought up a great point where these National Guardsmen, yes, they are trained, but they don't know these proper procedures inside a prison. So it almost seems like this is creating a liability nightmare, right? Because if a prisoner were to harm a National Guardsman or woman, or vice versa, because they don't know the proper procedures, who's to blame?
Or even better, what if a National Guard soldier responds in a way that he's trained as a soldier or she's trained as a soldier and not as a way that maybe a corrections officer could, and something happens to an inmate? I mean, we've already seen how challenging it is for trained professional officers given a certain situation, right? And so I think I worry about it from both directions, right? Not only the soldiers, obviously, but I worry about their own liability. They're being put in the situation where there is a huge amount of liability potentially on them. There's personal risk to them. They're going in situation. I mean, you might have guard soldiers at maximum security facilities. I was in the military. I was in Afghanistan. I wouldn't want to go into that situation without a weapon. That's how I was trained. That's how these soldiers, many of them are trained to be in those situations. And many of them are damn, they're trained damn well. But to put them in this situation that is very foreign, where they don't have that training, simply as a sort of a hardball tactic with the corrections officers, I think is really unnecessary. It's unconscionable. And I think the governor is going to be asking for more problems and more trouble as a result of this. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I'm going to be. I think if this persists, if this goes on for some time, at some point, there's going to be a real issue if they, in fact, are putting guard soldiers inside prisons. Now, if there's some other, deployment of them, tactically, that I'm not aware of, then maybe that might be different. But if they're going to put them inside prisons, which is what my information is, I just cannot see how that goes well, and I cannot see how that is a good use of the men and women who serve our state and our country in the New York Army National Guard. Some of these people, no doubt, will have served overseas in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Eastern Europe, and to ask them to do this is crazy to me. It just really is. And I would hope that other folks, either former or retired, would stand up and see this for what it is. It's a poor use of the men and women who have volunteered to serve this state and this country by Governor Hochul. What she should be doing is trying to get our corrections officers back inside these prisons as soon as possible, not putting soldiers inside the prison.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.